Hi, friends, and greetings again today. We're so glad to come your way by means of this international radio broadcast. We're told, in fact, we receive mail from many parts of the world, and we'd like to hear from you. We would like to know about your life. We'd like to know where you live, and if you know Jesus Christ, if you are a Christian, then you are a brother and sister in the Lord, regardless of our race, creed, or nation, whatever our nationality may be. There's one thing about being a Christian, that we are a family and children of God. And today we want to talk about the fact that we can know that we are saved. You can be saved and you can know it. You know, there's lots of people going on the journey of life without direction and without understanding whether you can be saved and whether there is life hereafter. And friend, the Bible is very clear on these things. We'd like to invite you to write us, if you would please. We have 52 lessons, that's one for each week, on foundational things about Christianity, about the Bible, about the Trinity, the triune Godhead, about salvation, and many other things that would be a help to you. And if you'll write us, we'll be glad to send this to you free of charge. Our announcer at the conclusion of this program will be glad to give you the address, and you get a pencil ready and be prepared. In the meantime, take your Bible and turn to the first epistle of John, chapter 5 in the New Testament. In verses 10, he said, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of Son of God, that you may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe in the name of the Son of God." Now, if you notice in the epistle of John here writing, he spoke about things that we would know. There are certain things that I do not know. I don't know a lot about a lot of things, but I do know God. I do know that I was saved many years ago, born again. And we get letters from people, and it always thrills our heart for you to make the statement, "I'm a born again Christian." And you know, folk, that's the only kind there is that's going to make it to heaven. And here John is telling us, "He that believeth on the Son of God." Now, remember, if you have studied or know anything about the Bible, in one of the greatest and most quoted verses of the Bible is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So here it says, "He that believeth on the Son of God," God the Father, and Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, they were all in unity. They were all in heaven. And they formed man out of the dust of the earth. In fact, they created this earth. And what better answer could we have from where did man come from? You know, people try to use the theory, and that's all it is a theory. It is a misleading theory. It is much more simple to accept the fact that God created the heavens and the earth. He created all the species, all the animals, and everything after its own kind. And he made man after his image. Man has intelligence. Man today has a soul. And he has dominion or control over the other things, other life on the planet. And so God the Father gave his Son. Now remember that man sinned against his Maker, and that caused him to be separated from God. And now Jesus Christ was coming to this earth. We have proof that he lived among men. He was born in Bethlehem of Judea, and this country still exists. The communities and so forth, we have things in that country that you can go visit that historically tells just what the Bible tells. And so God sent his Son, and today if we believe in the Son, you see, he's given us the Spirit. When Jesus walked among men upon this earth, they crucified him, but he said, I'll send you another Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will lead you and direct you into the paths of all truth and righteousness. So we not only have the Bible today that has endured all the persecution and all the rejection of the unbelieving world, but we have the witness of the Holy Spirit. You see, and nobody can deny that. We can't see the Spirit, neither can you see the wind. But the wind, it blows where it listeth, and we hear the sound of it, but we cannot tell from whence it cometh or whether it goeth, and so is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. And we're glad today to tell you, my friend, that God does live in our lives. He makes us know. And he said in verse 11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. You see, we find that the Apostle Paul said in the 8th chapter of Romans, he said, who shall separate a man from the love of God? Now, nothing. He said, no powers or principalities will be able to separate us from the love of God. Now, the weakness that man has on his part is the fact that he can't live a Christian life within his own strength, and therefore it takes the power of God to do that. In Isaiah, the Old Testament, chapter 53, verses 6, says, we all like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord, God the Father, has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And so God has laid it upon him. And he said, he that hath the Son hath life, meaning that our sins have been pardoned or been forgiven. In a sermon in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, verses 43, to him gave all the prophets witness that through his name, the name of Jesus, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. That means forgiven. And it's a wonderful consolation, my friend, to know that your sins are forgiven. Not only does he remit and forgive our sins, but he removes them from us. In the 103rd division of Psalms, verses 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And if you can tell me how far the east is from the west, then I can tell you how far the Lord has removed our sins from us, illustrating the farthest point of destiny from one point to the other. And that's how God has removed our sins. He's put away. You know, when God saves us, he puts our sins away. Hebrews 9:26. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. You see, he puts it away. He casts it in the sea of forgetfulness. In Micah 7:18, he is a God, who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, and passes by the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. And he will turn again, and he will have compassion upon us, and he will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all of our sins into the depths of the sea. That's a wonderful consolation to know that God forgives our sin. He removes it. He puts it away from him and casts it in the sea. And in Isaiah 38:17, it tells us that God casts our sins to his back. He said, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. And not only that, friend, but I'm glad that God, he blots out our sin. In Acts chapter 3 in verses 19, talking about the men of Israel, said, talking to the men of Israel, and here a lame man, a person that God had healed that had a lame leg, and said the man was healed. And so the preacher said, "Don't you marvel at this as something great upon our part?" Said, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." And so I'm glad to know that we that mourn now, we're going to be comforted in the world to come. And not only this, friend, but when we get saved, our sins are remembered no more. Hebrews chapter 8 and verses 12, he said, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." Isn't that a great consolation, what we have when we become children of God? Our sins have been forgiven. Our peace has been given to us instead of a burden and trouble. And we have a changed nature. We have now joy and peace in our lives. And we're going to have help in a time of trouble. We're joined to the family of God. And then we can say, as Romans 8:28, the most difficult passage in the Bible, "All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, even to them that are called according to His purpose." If you have this joy and peace in your life, we'd like to hear from you. And if you don't, we would like to help you, that you too could become a part of the family of God. We would like to invite you just now, if you would bow your head, humble your heart, and shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the peace and the joy that we can have to know that we are saved by the marvelous grace and the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Creator of this earth. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, to help others that may be listening today. In Jesus' name we pray, and for Christ's sake we ask it all. Amen. It would be such a joy to hear from you. If you'd just write us from whatever country, print your name and address plainly, and we'd be glad to send you this little booklet on 52 doctrines of the Bible. May God bless you until our next time, and here's our announcer.